We had a really wonderful first service this morning. It was down at Crescent Beach. We baptized six people, I think, six. It was cold for those of us partaking in the water, but it was good. And what a delightful way to start the new year. You know, it's our church new year as well. You know, everything kind of starts in September. We start up all the programs and youth church starts and kids church starts and freedom session and super school and sozo and all of the stuff that we're doing. The soup kitchen starts again, and it just all starts getting going in September. So this is our new year as well. This is, you know, the first Sunday after Labor Day. And so it's a big deal for us, you know. It's in the church year, and it coincides with the Jewish New Year as well. So Rosh Hashanah, or Feast of Trumpets, and just good stuff happening. Good stuff happening. I want to do something that wasn't planned, but as I was sitting there in worship, you know, you have those kind of downloads that mushroom in your brain. Whoa, Jesus, what are you doing? This year is the year of the Shemitah. Shemitah is the release, it means, essentially. It's in God's Old Testament stuff, you know, but I think it carries forward. He said that there would be a year of where you'd let the land lie fallow, where you would not plant and not expect to harvest, but everything that grew on the land would be fair game for everybody. So it was the time for the poor to do well. So anything that came up on its own, anybody could have, you know, the fruit of it. And so in this is the Shemitah year that we're starting here. It's the year of the release. The release is release from debts. You feel the juice on that one, Steve? Yeah. So if what I felt like God was saying was that this, you would see this year, if you cooperate with Him and just try and do what you're told. Try. I didn't say do. Try and do what you're told in cooperation with Him. You will see your debts paid off. So whether it's a credit card or a loan or multiple factions thereof, even a mortgage, and you want to see God's hand on that this year, because you've been working hard to get rid of it. But if you want to see that, stand up with me. I'm going to pray for you. It's the year of release. And so expect that He's going to be doing something absolutely wonderful this year. Mark it on your calendars, because He's in the mood to do something cool. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you have spoken to your people about release from these things that have kept us in bondage. Lord, you said that if we borrow, then we are slave to the lender. And Jesus, you came to release captives. So Lord, each one of us, for whatever reasons, are in captivity in some way or another. Jesus, in borrowing. So Lord, forgive us if we've moved ahead of you or moved without talking to you. And thank you that you do forgive. But we now place ourselves in your hand. You said, Lord, that you would, we should forgive the debts in the Shemitah year, in the year of Shabbat. And this is our Sabbath year, Lord. So we look to you to change financial situations for each one that's here. How you do that, Lord, by bringing increase in finance, by giving creative ideas that can be sold or marketed, by giving us new businesses, by forgiving debts, by just checks unexpected coming in, or whatever it is, Lord, would you do that this year? We submit it to you and we commit it to you now, and we look to you for what you're about to do. We give you glory for your greatness and for your wonder, and thank you in advance for your mercy and your grace upon us in the financial areas. In Jesus' holy name, and everybody said, amen. 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 Bless you. I think that's cool. Sure.
You saying that, release. This morning I was at church early with John, and so I came up to worship with the flags. And as I was moving around and dancing and just feeling a sense of release first, and then the Lord started to, it was like parts of my body, doors opening up, and things were released from me. And released, I wondered why I saw houses, I saw cars, but I also saw debt that there's no show for it either. Like it's spent, there's nothing to show for. I saw, and then as these things were all like a whirlwind came, and that's what it was like when you see in a tornado and you got cows and trucks going, and everything's going like that. And then the Lord said, in the midst of this, you will see the release on these things when you release your attitudes, you release your mindset, you release everything that has kept you captive and give it to me. So I had a sense of surrender, and more doors or windows popped out in front of me. And so as we do this, and as you said, I didn't realize that then, but that's what.
Way to go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for confirmation. So cool. Okay, so a couple of housekeeping things here. Some of you haven't been around, and you were praying for us to have a place to worship after September 30th. This is the place that is the answer to your prayer. We're going to be here for at least another year. The landlord gave us an extension of our lease for 2% increase, which is pretty fair on his part, but so we'll be here. So bless you for praying, and you know, you don't have to go looking for another church. That's okay. Second thing is, this is the Sabbath year, right? The year when rest is very much on our minds and on our hearts. God placed it on the hearts of the elders of the church to approach Pastor Samuel and Maddie, because they've been going so hard for so many years. We felt that we needed to extend to them the invitation to take a sabbatical. That doesn't mean they're gone forever. It means they get 3 months essentially put aside as a reading break for them, to catch up on reading as they're being educated, and to rest. So they won't be in church for 3 months, essentially. But they will be back right around Christmas time, and ready to rock and roll with us as we get into the new calendar year. New Years are fun. And so they're going to be away for a little bit, just resting. So Pastor Christine and I are the old is new again, and we're that was about me, honey, not you. and so we're going to be overseeing things, and it's a time for people to step up to take the place in the gaps that they see in church, because they're going to be Sam and Maddie are going to be away. So there's some other people that you haven't seen so much of, you'll see more of. And so it's a real opportunity for people. But part of that is that we told the guy that is in charge of our credentials, right? That we're accountable to the Christian Ministers Association. We went to the president, who essentially is our bishop, you know, if we had one, but we don't have one, so he isn't one. And told him that Sam was going to take a 3-month sabbatical, and as he was seeking the Lord, he got a word that he's going to share with us. Now this guy is an amazing guy. He's around. He attends church with his beautiful bride Sylvia, and he attends here as often as he can. And he is a blessing to us. You may not have noticed him as much as you would normally notice a bishop, but this is a bishop who serves the way a bishop should. Jesus came to serve, right? And so did this guy. And I so appreciate him. I've acted on his board of directors for too many years, I feel like I have a role of an armor bearer for him. I'm accountable to him. If you have any issues with me, you can see him anytime. So take a picture of his face when he gets up here. the Hebrew word armor bearer also means keeper of the head. And I take seriously keeping this guy's head intact. I pray regularly for him, but I also intercede in other ways for him. And he is a joy to us. And so he's got a word for Sam and Maddie this morning, and for the church as well, as I understand it. And Samuel's going to preach after that, but if we're all standing or sitting. So would you welcome with me Stephen Schroeder.
You guys can do better applause than that, can't you? It's good to laugh, though, isn't it? It's good to lighten up a little. It's a tense time of the year because it's baseball season, and I'm a Blue Jays fan. Yay! And I was watching the games yesterday. Who here are a Blue Jays fan? And who here would like to be a Blue Jays fan? We'll pray for you after. I said to someone, if there was one sport that I could watch, and if I was only allowed to watch one sport, what would it be? And people thought I was going to say hockey, but it's not. It's baseball. Because there's more in baseball than we really understand. It's not just about catching a ball, throwing a ball, or running around the bases. It's a mental game that you have to get your mind into the game, otherwise you're not going to be in the game. And it's a lot like that in the kingdom. And that's why the Bible says that the battle we face is in our mind, not always in the expression of what we do or how we do it, but why we do things. And I just wanted to I was watching the Blue Jays were playing a doubleheader yesterday, two games in a row, and back to back. And baseball has some of the best language of any sport in the world. You know, Yogi Berra's famous one is, it ain't over till it's over. And that's because in baseball, you can be in the bottom of the ninth with two out and behind and rally and win the game. It's just an amazing thing. And so I was watching the game, and there was like the bottom of the inning, and there was two out, and the pitcher was on the mound, and it's his first game of the year. And the color commentator said, the play-by-play guy said to the commentator, he says, boy, if you're a catcher, what do you tell your pitcher when it's two out, bottom of the inning, and you've got runners in scoring position, and you've got to throw the best strike ever? What do you tell him to throw? And this is what the commentator goes, bring him the heater, Ricky. Bring him the heater. And the heater in baseball is a fastball. There's got no stuff on it. There's no junk on it. There's no trying to, you know, throw a curveball to, you know, trick the batter. You're just throwing it with all your might, all your strength, hoping that that batter is going to swing and miss. So this morning I'm bringing the heater. Is that okay? I'm going to bring the heater. You know, some mornings you get up and you for Sunday morning and you roll over in bed going, Lord, is this my day to sleep in this Sunday morning? I really don't want to go to church. How many have had that feeling? But this morning, have you ever had this feeling where, get out of my way, I can't wait to get there? Yeah. That's how I felt this morning. And I said to Sylvia, we got to sit in the, and I said this to John and Yvette, our dear friends. I don't know if you noticed John and Yvette. They're here, Stevens, they're here with us. They kind of follow us around and walk with us. And I get to carry their bags, and they get to carry my bags. And we just have a whole lot of fun, don't we? I'm just honored to have you with us. And they're going to participate a little bit in this word that we have this morning as well. But there's something that was pregnant in my spirit that began. And, you know, how many figured God out? You know what? The more I walk in the kingdom, the less I figure out about God. You know, Bob Dylan wrote a great song, and it's called The Back Pages. And he's a great poet, but in the back, the tag of the back page song is simply this: I was so much older then, I'm younger than that now. Which means when he was young and he was writing all these activist songs, now later on in life he realizes, you know, I was a little brash back then. I was a little arrogant back then. I thought I knew everything and all the answers, but as I've learned over life, things change. And that's the way God works. He doesn't always tell us everything right up front. And that's the mystery of God, and that moves us into a place of what we call ruthless trust. And the interesting thing about God is, this morning I had these words, and I have a word for Sam and Maddie, which we just love absolutely deeply, and are so honored to be able to share and walk with you guys, and Randy and Christine as well, and the rest of you. And I had them all scattered all over the place. This was my morning and my journal. I write, you know, Sam, how we do that? We're over here and over here. And I said, this is what I said: Lord, we got to bring some kind of cohesion to this word, like, or else I'm going to look like an idiot. And I've got to figure out the order to this. And then I get this side thought in my head: well, why don't you just stop and take up your Bible devotions? You know, we read through the McShane Bible study passages in the morning. And by the way, I'm still behind. And just to set you all at ease, but there's something strategic in the timing and the purposes of the Lord. So I'm going, well, I'll just put these notes down that of the things I really feel burning on my spirit, and I'll just stop that and read this. Well, that doesn't always work so well. And so I'm going, these are my great spiritual bishop thoughts. Well, I'll just read really fast through it to get back to what I know is the heart of God. So I'll just burn through it really fast, right? And because I'm behind, I'm in the book of Judges, and it's the story of Gideon and whatnot, and then I'm also in the book of Acts, and this was the part, so I burned through Gideon, you know, raising up, you know, and dwindling his armies down to 300. So God calls him into something great and powerful, and only for God to say, you know what, your army's too big and it's too strong, and you'll get the glory for this, so I'm going to dwindle you down, so that you know this is of me and not of you. And I'm going, okay, that's good, that's good. Yeah, that's really good. But God was going, you know, no, pay attention. I do things in the body of Christ so that I'll get the glory. You know, sometimes we think that it's important for us to find the resting place, but, you know, it's more important that he finds the resting place, that we create a resting place for him, not for us. I used to think that way. Oh, God, where's the resting place? Oh, there's a portal. Sorry, portal people. There's a portal over here. You know, no, it's not resting there. Oh, maybe it's over here. And God says, where's the place that he gets to rest? And so there's something that he's doing in us to create in us a resting place for him. So we even focus a little bit too much on the world and all its problems, trying to figure out how will the world come to a place of peace and rest. That's not on God's heart. God's heart is, where will I find a place of rest in you, in that? So it's a completely different ball game. So I'm reading, and then I go to the book of Acts, and I really want to get back to this word to put it together. And this is what I read, where Peter gets this vision of unclean meat being dropped down, and he's told that he can eat unclean meat. And it just shocks him, because that's not something he's expecting, and it's not something he's asking for. He's not asking. See, sometimes God will invite you into things you don't ask for his purposes. Why? So that he can find a resting place in you, and that resting place, when it's created, will bring rest to those around you. But you don't ask for it. In fact, you're still looking for your resting place. But God comes along and he says, no, I'm looking for a resting place, so I'm gonna do this. So he gives Peter this dream. And so later in the story, Peter is among the people that he shouldn't be among, the Gentiles. And he eats with them. And his friends around him are saying, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? This isn't right. This isn't how we do things. If you do this, if you go this way and do this, do you know what the implications of this will be? And they start thinking about all the things that their mind is creating that could go wrong, rather than understanding that God is in the midst of this and that his plan is to bring great things along that they don't see in that moment. And that's how God works. It's an amazing thing. And so this is what it said. You'll love this, Sam. It says, verse 3 in Acts 11, it says, you went to uncircumcised men and ate with them. What were you thinking? What's your thought pattern behind this? Like, why didn't you share with us before you did this that it was going to happen? And Peter says, and this is verse 4, but Peter began and explained it to them in order. And I felt, and it, when I read that, God said, stop reading your devotional scriptures and go now back to that word. And then God started to instantly put it in order for me. I need things like, I need God's help to make things make sense. And so I'm just going to read a few things here. This is something that I've learned over the years. And this is really good to write down. God is not a God of orders. He is a God of order. He is not a God of orders. He is a God of order. There's a big difference. One is when I command you to do something, and the other is when God wants to bring something into a spiritual, heavenly alignment, and it brings order. You know how the scripture says, you know, all things should be done decently and in order? That's a divine order that God brings. That when he does it and he brings it into alignment, you may not figure it out, him getting to that place, but when he does, you realize you have these aha moments. And it's a powerful thing. So, and this, you have to help bear with me a little bit on this, because this is specifically relating to Sam and Maddie taking the sabbatical. The first, Randy shared it with me, and Sam shared it with me on Wednesday of last week. And I'm going, wow, the church is going great and all these things. And, going to take a sabbatical. And it's like, and I don't think, you know, in talking with Sam, it's not Sam says, you know what, I need a sabbatical. I really need a rest. See, when you're that age and you're going, like, right, Sam? You don't think I need a rest. You see, God knows us better than we know ourselves. So I get a little blindsided by that. Because I'm going, oh, what's going to happen? And Randy goes, oh, it's going to be fine. And I'm going, oh, I don't quite see it that way. You know, well, like I have an office in the basement, and I said to Sam, and I say this to Josh too, you know, I have an office here, but it's not really for having an office. And they knew exactly what I meant. I'd rather come and have coffee with everybody and hang out. And they all went, yeah, we kind of got that feeling. Because I'm never in my office. I'll hang out with Josh, or we'll go for coffee or lunch, won't we, Sam? You know, and because it's, for me, it's not what I do or how I do it. It's why I do it. And with God, we question what he does and how he does it, but we can never question why he does it. Because once we understand why he does things, we have an aha moment. But we don't know it. We can't always see it in what he does or how he does it. But when we understand why he does things, it just comes clear. And you might be in a situation right now where there's a lot of change. This morning, there's a lot of change. There's a lot of stuff going on, and you know, everything's going to be great, but you go, I don't see how that's going to be. And there's probably questions, you know, Sam, they're going to take a sabbatical? I'm not going to be here? I mean, I go, okay, how I got to get my head around that. And God says, whoa, just stop. So here. So Wednesday, I hear the news of Sam's three-month sabbatical. Friday, and I don't know if this happens to you, but when God instigates or brings me into something, usually, rarely I get it right on the first go. Are you with me? Like Gideon in the wine press, the old mighty man of valor, and he goes, okay, yeah, okay, I'm a mighty man of valor, but you know what, God, you know, I'm just going to, you know, if this is really you, I'm going to put this out here, because I need confirmation of that. Oh, yeah, okay, you did it. Well, one more time, just for my benefit, God. And we always, you know, and we would try to spiritualize that and say, oh, don't put a fleece out. That's not what it's about. It's about our hearts aren't always as strong as we want them to be. And we're just simply saying, Father, can you just reaffirm in my heart that you know what you're doing? Because I don't see it. How many are there? Yeah, I thought so. So Friday, so Wednesday I get this information. Friday, I feel pressed by the Holy Spirit to come down and just, I don't know what, hang out. I just had to come. And Friday was, everybody remember the date on Friday? 9/11, right? And what does 9/11 bring up in everybody's mind? Destroying and calamity and terrorism and fear and that's where the enemy loves us to sit and think about it. So as I'm driving down, God says to me, this is the dawning of the best day ever, the most glorious future of what God wants to do in this church and in the province and in the nation and in the earth. And I mean, all our thoughts are on, you know, remembering the terror and the destruction and the death and the evil and causing our hearts to fear when God's saying, don't focus on that. So I come down here, and as I'm driving down, I remembered an event that happened in Maddie and Sam's life. It's funny how God will do that. We live in Chilliwack, and so the drive here is like an hour. And you go, why do you do that? Because it's not what I do or how I do it, it's why I do it. If I just feel that this is the place for us to be right now. And so I'm driving down, and God says to me, you know what? A while back, Sam was given a little black Honda. You remember that? What happened to the Honda? It was stolen. And I was having lunch with Josh the other day, and Josh goes, yeah, and Isaac was driving it. And I went, really? Isaac... The word Isaac is, he's son of promise. He's son of promise. There's a destiny that was on Isaac that wasn't on any other Bible person. There was this hope that rested on Isaac. So anyway, just bear with me on this. So Sam gets a car. Isaac, child of promise, is driving it, and it gets stolen when the child of promise has it. And so now what does Sam drive? A really big honking white pickup truck. Now, I don't know about you, but I sense that we're a prophetic people. So prophetic people say, now if that was a dream, what would it mean? Now if I dreamt that, I'd go, hey, I got a dream. You want to interpret it for me? But we don't do that with life, and we're supposed to do that with life. God, what are you saying in this? So I look at this. And I'm going, okay, he had this small black car given to him. Isaac, the son of promise, was driving it, and it's been taken, and you've been given, now you're driving this big white truck. And so I did what all good bishops do. I pulled out the Adrian and you know, dream book. I went, what the heck's going on, God? How many do that? Okay. You can get it for your iPad, too, by the way. You see, when something takes place that I don't fully understand, I realize that God is up to something. I only have the beginning. What's directly in front of me and what my eyes can see and my ears can hear. The key for my heart is not to judge by what I see or what I hear. Isaiah 11 says that Jesus is going to come, and he will not judge by what his eyes see or what his ears hear, but he'll judge righteously. And we heard something, we were in a meeting last night with Steve and Wendy Backlund from Reading, and he said a really great quote. He said this, he says, you come to Jesus, you become born again by simply believing in Jesus. And then he said, you become like Jesus when you think like he does. Not just duplicate what he does or copy what he does, but when you think like he does. That's a different thing. And so I'm learning in my own spiritual journey that he wants me to think like he does and not judge by what my eyes hear or my ears hear. So I'm in this process of this is the thing about it, because God will often call leaders or move leaders into places that we can judge with our eye and our ear and understand there's a certain course. So Maddie and Sam are taking a sabbatical, and that's wonderful, and they're going to read and study and all this, but they're actually being pulled right out of everything that they love to do. Now, I don't know about you, but that would be hard for me. Like to be, you know, we're encouraging you to take a sabbatical because we think you really need it. And it's like, do you see something I don't see? I'm not feeling this way. Yeah, but we really feel you do. And you go, okay. I don't know how it's going to look or how it's going to work out. In fact, what am I going to do? This is what I do. And there's something in that God, when we see all through Scripture, God takes every great leader of God through that place. Sometimes, you know, you say, hey, I'm burning out and I need a break. I don't think Sam said that. I'm burning out, I need a break. We're not always the first to say that. But then when the Holy Spirit begins to move, and there's a reason why the Holy Spirit does it, we don't always understand what he's doing or how he's going to do it, but we understand there's something in his why. So we find, you know, and I'm not equaling Sam and Maddie to, you know, Joseph, and, you know, you're not quite that powerful. But he takes Joseph, who has these dreams of the kingdom, and gets him into slavery. He rises up only for a day to bless his brothers. And he realizes, you know what happened back there? What happened back there wasn't you. God had a why to this that was greater that we didn't see. And I can imagine Joseph going, I didn't see it. Moses didn't see it. David didn't see it. Paul didn't see it. The only one that did was Jesus. Where God the Father says, you know, his son, got something I want you to walk in. Oh, you do? You know, and there was a point in Jesus' ministry in the flesh where he says, Father, if this can pass for me, please take it away. Because I don't know what I... And the Father, probably in this conversation with him, just said, you know what? You got the stuff. It's going to be fine. Even the disciples didn't see it. And so there's times when God will call us into a place of ruthless trust, where we have to find out and discover why God does things, not so much what he does or how he does it, but why he does things. So these are some significant things that I see taking place here for Sam and Maddie and the church. The first one is, and Randy brought this up, that this is taking place on September 13th, 2015, which is Rosh Hashanah. Now, Rosh Hashanah actually starts tonight. We're not in it yet. It starts at dawn, at sunset. And so we're moving into this, what we would call Jewish New Year, where it's really a new beginning. Now, it's interesting, too, that when I was chatting with the gang here during the week, I said, oh, you're doing food truck on Sunday. Wasn't that supposed to be last Sunday? This is, well, yeah, you know, a communion, you do food truck, right? And it's like, whoa, no, well, we had too much going on, and this is our kickoff Sunday, so we thought we'd do food truck now. You know that Rosh Hashanah is called the Feast of Trumpets. It's called the Feast. So I'm going, well, who came up with this great idea? You know what? It's Rosh Hashanah. I think we'll organize this, and we'll have the feast on that day, and it'll be significant. And we try to order God's steps. And you know, and create this great place, and God goes, yeah, I don't want to go there. I'm going over here. So you look at how God does things, and you go, God, why did you do it that way? Because there's something significant and shifting that's taking place that he doesn't want us to get all bottled up in the what he does or how he goes about doing it, but to find his heart and go, God, you always do things well. You're a good father. I want to know why you do things. It's like when Moses is, you know, called upon to lead the children of Israel, and Moses says to God, unless your presence, you know, unless you go with me, I don't want to go. Unless your presence go with me, I don't want to go. Now that's not, you know, because Moses asks this of God, teach me your ways. Teach me what you do and how you do it. And God says, my presence will go with you. Now that's not teaching him any system, any formula, any structure. What he's saying is, I will go with you and you'll understand my heart and why I do what I do. And I really believe that we as Christians spend way too much time in what God does and how to do that than why he does it. And he's shifting us at this time to get back to his heart, to have that release of his heart, to understand why he does what he does. You know, you may question what God does, but you'll never question his heart. Sometimes when people pass away, we go, God, she was way too young. What was going on? What were you thinking, God? God has a why to things that we don't always understand. And he wants us to get close to his heart to trust the why. And I think we're moving into that period of time. So it's the day of the sounding of the trumpet, a day of feasting. And I said it this way, that, you know, the enemy wants to, you know, there's a lot of this, and forgive me if, you know, please don't get offended, but there's a lot of blood moon talk, and economy's going to crash, and we're right in this period, this vortex, where there's a lot of voices that are sounding loud that are bringing fear to a lot of people. But Rosh Hashanah, entering into this new year, and as Randy so well put, it's actually a year that signifies blessing. And not only blessing, but blessing for the poor and the broken. Like if it's a year of releasing debt, that means you're in debt. That means you're not okay. So there's even a deeper significance to that. The gospel is good news to the poor, right? So there's something that God is trumpeting right now, and I believe strongly that he will use leaders as a forerunner into what God is, you know, why God does this. To help us understand why he's doing things, he'll take leaders, like he's taking Sam and Maddie, into a three-month period of time that all we know is they're not going to be around for 3 months, and they're going to read and rest? That guy can't sit down for 5 minutes. Like, that's going to be brutal. How long will that last for you? You know? He's like, give me the ball, give me the ball. That's the kind of guy he is, right? How's that working for you? So there's something significant that God's sounding and trumpeting, and he's calling them into this time. Now, I don't even think the elders really even understand. Sometimes when we as elders and leaders make decisions, we don't fully understand what the outcome is actually going to be. But we're trusting in that God is signaling something, and it may even be unpopular at times. You may go up and say, what were you thinking? Our world is going to fall apart. It's like, no, it's going to be just fine. See, as believers and as priests, we bring hope. We bring life. We bring encouragement that it's not over, that he has triumphed gloriously, and that this is not the end of our lives. This is the church is glorious and has a glorious future without end. This is what we carry.